Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingrid.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience. What you mean, Ann Ingram? And that was Richard Elliott right here on The Love Journey, family. Another version of Summer Madness. You know, some songs just classic in nature. Remember that song when I was a little girl, and I still love it, and it's different variations and different versions of different artists creating Summer Madness. Yes, family. I love it, love it, love it. Good morning. Let's turn within. And as we turn within, let's invite and move into the presence of the one that is the one. And as we move into the stillness and into the love, the divine presence, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. I'm so grateful. But we recognize it on this line as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So in this right now moment, I just want you to become very intentional about the breath. There is power in the breath, family, and sometimes we forget to breathe. And so right now, I just want you to focus on the in-breath and be very intentional as we honor the presence, giving thanks of the feminine energy rising on the planet, balancing the masculine and the feminine energy is one of the most powerful places on the planet we can be. And even balancing the masculine and feminine energy within oneself. So as we move into a balanced, peaceful state, honoring the divine feminine in ourselves, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, the Cosmic Mother, Isis, Lady Oshun. And as we honor the masculine within ourselves, honoring the divine masculine, calling forth love and wisdom. And so as we just take in that deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, remembering to breathe into the heart, deep into the diaphragm. Remember this. Something powerful about the heart. Wisdom. Together, family. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release, still, and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we move into the energy of forgiveness,
Day 1, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in and release the light. Breathe the light in and release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception that is anything but love is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
And just honor the energy of forgiveness. I just want us to take a few minutes and just honor the body today as we honor the Breast Awareness Month, loving our breasts, loving the energy of what even the breasts represent. I just want you to send some loving energy into your heart chakra. Isn't it interesting how the breasts, where they sit, is right around the heart chakra. And so when the mother's milk is being shared through the breasts, we're sharing love. I just want you to love your breasts this month. Honor your breath and just give thanks. As we begin this morning, we're reading of the science of the mind. And so today is about tension release. It says, but why should we stand against at nothingness? Spiritual communion is relaxing. There is neither stress nor strain in it. All the yesterdays of fear and failure are dropped from consciousness. Today, everything is filled with peace and joy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the spirit has no burden, creates none, and enters into none. As Emerson once said, it is the finite alone that has wrought and suffered. You see, the infinite lies stretched in a smiling repose. Spiritual communion is letting go of all negation. It's reaching out and up toward freedom, wholeness, and happiness. It is a calm inward sense of reality. There's no struggle, no tension, only peace. Since we are dealing with a power which can easily accomplish our desired good and give us more abundantly even than we are able to receive, think, or imagine, there should be no sense of compulsion, but rather a relaxed, yet an attentive and active acceptance. All anxiety is dropped by the wayside. Over-anxiety is one of the most negative states of mind we can experience. It is a complete denial of the divine benefits, a feeling that the entire burden of life rests upon our shoulders. Spiritual communion relieves this tension automatically and straightens that consciousness right out. You see, through recognition, acknowledgement, and receptivity, it readjusts the psychic stream of life. It frees the pent-up emotion and causes them to become sublimated or transformed into the energy of light, of power, and of self-expression. This comes from a book called Pray and Prosper on page 24. Written in 1944. Pray and prosper. Whew, that's something to marinate on this morning. How many of us know prayer works? How many of us know that it's about knowing how to become one with the one, become one in the consciousness of knowing that all things we have the power of that's happening in our life. You see, this is no surprise to God today. It's not a surprise what's happening in your life right now. You've been equipped for every step of a journey. You've been equipped. But have you been taught to move within yourself? Have you been taught to check in? You know, it's no coincidence that things happen. You know, I believe everything is a divine chance. So I'm in my position yesterday teaching judges how to work the equipment for the election coming up in November, right? And there's a lady that she looks familiar, and I've seen her before. And so we get to talk, and her name is Natalie, and we begin to talk about what she's doing, a garden on 71st and Merrill. And I said, that garden sounds familiar. I know it's another lady. And I tell her the name. She's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And she knows some similar people that I know. And we get to talking about what I do. She wanted to know what I do. And I kind of gave her a synopsis. But the one thing that was interesting is that in that divine process of us having the conversation, we were talking about how we want. She wants to do a programming for children, young girls, especially teaching them about their sensuality, their sexuality, and, you know, of course, of all the things that's going on, she wants them to learn how to say no and how to keep themselves protected. I said, well, you know, I think the first thing that we have done a disservice to our young girls with is that we haven't taught them to trust their inner voice. And the room got quiet. I said, because we've been conditioned to believe in authority outside of ourselves. We believe in the authority outside of ourselves and not the authority within ourselves. I said the thing that I think kept me alive growing up in the streets of Chicago was being able to hear the voice. When something said move, I moved. When something, and I didn't even question it. When something said leave right now, I left right now. I didn't say, should I be leaving? What's going on? Boom. I remember my girlfriend and I, we were, I lived on 79th. I lived on 79th at this time, east. And at that time, Rainbow Beach was a popular place. So a lot of people would, especially on a nice summer day, you would see anybody coming to the Corvette Club, the motorcycle club. Now, I'm not proud of this moment that, you know, I'm about to tell you about, but because as a young girl, 16, 17, just exploring life, adventurous, not afraid of anything. So we're walking down the street and the motorcycle club comes. It's a late evening. And they like, they see these two fine young girls, they pull over. So we jump on their motorcycles, don't know anybody, right? And so we riding on the motorcycles, hair blowing in the wind, and they take us to a motorcycle club. At the time, I didn't know nothing about no motorcycle clubs and what they were about or any of that. So I look up around, and I was looking at my girlfriend. There was a pool table in there, a lot of guys, not a lot of women. And even with some guys sitting on the, around the wall with these dark sunglasses on, with some dogs, Doberman Pinscher kind of dogs. And I was like, it just felt really eerie in there. And I said, you know what, I think we should leave. I said, because something don't feel right in here. And then I look up and I see a cross, skull and crossbones. And I told my girlfriend, her name is Jatana, I said, we should leave right now. And so we left. Only to find out the next day, some girls had got hurt and raped and sexually assaulted in the same space that we was in. And I can't tell you how many times my spirit spoke to me and said, let's leave. My girlfriend that I'm talking about, we spent a lot of time together, lots of, and did crazy stuff. And one day, she was a drinker. I was never a drinker. So we in the liquor store getting ready to get her. At that time, she liked, at this, she had different things that she liked at different times. So she was on this Mike Carr lemonade thing. And so we was in there to get her some lemonade, corrected lemonade. And my spirit said, move and leave right now. So I said, girl, mama, we got to go. She's like, I ain't get, I said, come on, let's go. So we left out, and as soon as we left out, these guys were coming in to rob the store. Why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you, growing up in the streets of Chicago, if it wasn't for my inner spirit, and not only because of the things that I've learned, but because of the fact that I was able to listen to my inner spirit, I'm able to stand right here and be able to tell you a story. We got to teach our children, as well as ourselves, how to hear the spirit and trust it. Not second guess it, but trust it. We got to learn how to trust when we hear the spirit, the voice. I know that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the voice of God. The voice. I was telling her, so we were talking about being in positions to be sexually assaulted. So there used to be a place out in Markham called the Hut. I was too young to be in there, but I was working with a guy. We would bring in, we would bring strippers in to the parties and get paid. So I'm helping the girls get dressed and everything. And then, but this time we got girls and guys. So I'm going out. I sat in the audience to watch the show and everything, right? So some of the guys that were in the back kept sending this guy out to tell me to come back there. I can't think of the two guys' names. Fine, handsome guys, too. They was like, Janine, such and such wants you. I don't remember their name because I was about 16, 17. And I said, okay, I'll be there. And I kept sitting. My spirit told me not to move. He came back. He said, Janine, such and such and such and such wants you to come in the back. I said, okay. And I wouldn't move. Every time he came to tell me that they wanted me to come in the back, I said, okay, but I wouldn't move because my spirit said, don't go back there. So the last time he told me to come back there, I said, okay, and I still didn't come back there. They didn't come try to get me anymore. They decided, I guess, to get somebody else. Well, anyway, they sexually assaulted a girl in the back, and they couldn't hear because there was so much noise. It wasn't an elegant club. It was a very noisy, screaming and hole-in-the-wall type club. So all the noise, nobody could hear what was going on in the back. But I'm just sharing with you my story of knowing that the inner spirit has saved me. You see, I can't say thank you enough for knowing how to hear my strong inner urge. I can't say thank you enough for how many times God told me. Now, were there times when I was hard-headed and there was consequences? Absolutely. God told me one time I was doing a real estate deal, and at the time, maybe I was in my 30s, and I was closing a big deal. It was a $100-some thousand deal, cash. When I get, it was a 3-day right of rescission, and every night I went to sleep after every, I could put the deal together. Everything was good. It was one of those deals. It wasn't even easy. It was like, okay, something kept done that, and I figured out how to get around it. Finally got to the point of closing. Getting ready, we get a 3-day right of rescission. That means 3-day right of rescission means I don't pick up my check to 3 days. And so I go to sleep the first night. Spirit said, don't close the deal. I'm like, oh, man. The second night I hear the voice again, and I wake Britton up. I said, something telling me not to get this money. And he looked at me, and he just went back to sleep. I'm like, okay. Third night, it was so loud I can't even tell you it was so loud. I called my girlfriend in the middle of the night. Her name was Renee. I said, this is what the voice, she said, girl, go get that money. So I go be hard-headed. And wouldn't you believe, I get that $175,000 cash money. I got all this money. I'm super excited. This is the first time I've ever closed a deal with this much money in my life. At one time, I was super excited. You couldn't tell me nothing. And I just drowned the voice out in my head. You better believe a few months after that, the FBI was coming at my job, coming at my door, coming everywhere. What? What's going on? The spirit told me to leave the deal alone, not to do the deal. Second time, guess what? It was involving money again. These guys, I own a mortgage company. And it's so interesting because it's all around the same time. So when I get caught up in this FBI stuff, I get all this stuff going on because I wouldn't listen to the still small voice. These two guys come in that I know. They've been trying to close a deal. They couldn't get it closed. Everybody say, if it's going to be a deal done, Janine can get it done, right? I was kind of known for the make it happen kind of girl because I never looked at a deal. When you brought me a deal, I looked at how I could make it happen, not how I couldn't. I always looked at how we can get around the obstacles that was preventing you from getting deals done. So these guys come in with a suitcase full of money saying, if you get this deal done here, you can get this money. So, you know what your girl did. She got the deal done. So guess what? The FBI is at my door again because this guy was a drug dealer. Now, I didn't know the guy that they were trying to get the deal done for, but I knew the two other guys, and I knew they weren't drug dealers. But I wasn't thinking because I was blinded by the cash. And guess what? Spirit had told me because I didn't take the deal when they first came in with the cash. I was like, something don't feel right now. So they came back with more cash, and they kept trying to convince me. They came in with a week, and they kept trying to come in. And finally, they came in with enough cash and enough on the day, I guess I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do the deal. They keep, you know, I go do the deal. Wow. These two deals were around the same time that turned my life inside out, which causes me to lose everything because then they put a freeze on my accounts because now I'm in conspiracy with a drug dealer. which I didn't know the guy was, the guy that they brought me was a drug dealer. I just knew the two other guys, and I know one was a mortgage, a real estate guy, and the other guy worked for Amtrak. And the guy that they brought in, his name was Terrence Summer, can't think of it, but he was the one that they were trying to sell the house to, which is the one I didn't know. So I didn't know he was a drug dealer. But I did know something wasn't right with the deal. And the FBI kept saying to me, so as smart as you are, you didn't know he was a drug dealer. I mean, I didn't ask that question. It didn't matter to me. I was here to get the deal done. But my point is, I didn't listen to my spirit, even though it was loud and clear. It was loud and clear. You see, it's something powerful that happens when we learn how to trust our inner voice. And I think that we need to start teaching our children from a very young age how to hear the presence, how to hear the voice that is speaking to them. Because we come equipped with this unseen presence, with presence that is there, right there to always protect, lead, and guide us. Let me say that again. Protect, lead, and guide us. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes the voice is quiet. At the time when you're asking questions, God, what should I do? And sometimes it seems like heaven is quiet. God, I know you told me to go this direction. Now I need some help. Where you at, God? But I think those are times when we just be still until we hear. But for the most time, when we do hear, are we trusting the voice? And that's important, trusting the voice and building a relationship, because it's your best friend. You see, I invite the presence into my life like I'm talking to you right here. You see, God, spirit, angels, unseen presence, best friend. And we need to teach our children how to hear it. But some of us can't teach our children because we're not trusting the voice. We're not trusting the inner voice. We're so caught up. Because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, in a real interesting process, when you hear the times that I was disobedient to the voice, it's the times when it has something to do with money. Because the very thing that I didn't want was the very thing that I was bringing into my experience, because I was operating out of a space of not wanting to be poor. I wanted my children to be able to have access to some of the best education, opportunities, and experience different culture. And it takes money to do it, you know. Well, at least I felt like it did. And it did for the education, you know, they had. I mean, who from my salary gets to take three children and put them in the top schools in nations? Boarding schools. They went to Africa at 15 and spent months in Paris and danced and all around the world, and China and Australia, because I wanted them to see the world outside of America, outside of the street they grew up on, because so many of our children haven't been off the blocks. They don't even know what downtown looks like. So I wanted my children to understand life from a global perspective. But what I didn't have was a disciplined idea how that was going to work. I just knew I wanted it to happen, and it did happen. So that's why a lot of choices I made was disobedient to the spirit. Not illegal, because I didn't do things that were illegal. But what I did was disobey the spirit by associating with people who had did things that were illegal. And that's what the voice kept trying to tell me. But because I didn't understand how to make money from a legal perspective, in the sense of, you know, growing up in the streets, all I saw was people making money illegal. So I didn't want to go to jail for nothing. So I just wanted to do what I got to do and get some of their money. Well, at the time, I didn't understand the law and conspiracy. You can do everything that you're supposed to do and do it correctly and legal. But if you associate with people who are doing illegal things, they can put you in on their deal as conspiracy, and you can even get a longer time than even the people who did the thing. Especially now, laws have changed. See, God's so good. God took me out the game at the time where laws were not what they are today. See, I have friends who were doing a very similar thing and spent 7 to 10 years in prison just because of association. Just because of association. And you see how good God was. I'm not saying that I'm special. I'm not saying it just was my role. I got taken out the game before the laws changed. It was taken from me, and I had to rebuild my life from zero. But I'm so grateful that I had to rebuild it from zero from out here. Not to say that it's bad. You know, people's journeys are different. I didn't have to experience incarceration. But my disobedience could have caused me to be in incarcerated if I had kept going in that role. And I told God on the last go-round when everything, when I had to go to court and it was, and my life was about, was being judged on whether I had to go in. And I never forget July 31st, 2001. I'll never forget that day, because the guy who was also a part of my case had died in prison the night before I had to go to, before we all were going to be, whatever it's called when you go, not indicted, but you found guilty or not. So I'm up on federal charges, and he's dead. So I'm like, oh, they're going to try to put me in jail because I'm the only one left. Everybody's gone. Everybody in jail or they dead. Oh. And I'm thinking they're going to put everything on me. So I was in so much fear. My girlfriends, I had like really close girlfriends. Six of them came over. It was the night before I had to go to court. And they said, come on, let's go get something to eat. And at that time, it was a club named 3G's. And they said, come on, let's dance because everybody know I love to dance. And let me tell you how good spirit is to me. Spirit had told me right on the dance floor. I was stepping, y'all. And I promise you, it felt like a cartoon. It was like something inside of me rose above. So, like, it was a lot of noise in the club. You know, you be in the club dancing. You know, it's a lot of noise, music loud, people talking, everybody's laughing and having fun. I'm on stepping, and I feel like I'm Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I'm so cold. Everybody watching me, right? And all of a sudden, it becomes like what you see in a cartoon. I could feel my spirit rise above all the noise to hear the words to the song. And it was Faith Evans. And I can't even tell you the name of the song today, but I could tell you that the words said, God got your back. That's all I heard in the words. It's like, now, as many times as you're in a club, you dancing to a song, you ain't really listening because you're really feeling the beat. I'm feeling the music, and I'm so light on my feet. Every move, I never make a mistake. I'm on beat, I'm point, I'm turning on point. I mean, he dips, and I'm just killing the game. And all of a sudden, my spirit rise to hear the words to the song, and tears began to flood in my eyes because I knew spirit was saying that God got my back. That was a sign. That was God speaking to me, telling me that you're not finna go nowhere. So the next day we get up, my whole family, like, let me tell you, if I didn't know I was loved, I knew I was loved that day. My whole family, all my friends, that court was so filled. Now, if you ever been in it's not like regular court when you go in for city or state. When you go to federal court, it's a very small space, but it's beautiful hardwood everywhere, and it's this like ebony wood, and everything is pretty. So these wood benches everybody's sitting on, and it was so filled that they couldn't even, it was standing room only. And so my attorney walks up to and I'm standing next to my attorney, and inside I'm praying the Our Father prayer. My Father, Mother God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my day. And I'm saying it over and over and over and over. So the judge, my attorney began to explain my life. He starts off as, you know, me growing up in foster care and all the things that happened. And when I got through and I looked up, everybody in the courtroom was crying because they heard my story. And I had never heard my story. I lived my story, but I had never heard my story. I was like, wow, I've been through a lot. And at that point, I realized that God wanted me to hear my story. God wanted me to hear my story because you can live your story and not hear your story or even really embody your story. You just know you go from next to next to next to next. And when I heard my story, even the court stenographer was crying, the judge was crying, my attorney, I could feel that the presence had went through his voice and started to speak, that he spoke to the voice of the judge. And then he began to say, but she's one of the most phenomenal mothers on the planet. He began to speak the accolades of my children and what I've been able to do from where I've been able to come from. And it was just so amazing that the judge was like, wow. Judge even said, wow, that they let me go. They was going to let me go. And then the prosecuting attorney said, well, let's check her tax returns, and he said, because he didn't want them to let me go. Of course, that's his job. So they took a recess to go through all my tax returns to make sure that I had done no tax evasions. Let me tell you, so it took about 2 hours to go through all my taxes and everything. They came back, well, and they let me go. That was the most freeing day I ever thought, because I'm on the edge of my life being, I won't say taken, but restricted. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, all I can say is thank you, God, for keeping me in times of trouble, keeping me hidden in times of trouble, keeping me hidden. So I want to tell you today, there's something powerful when we listen to the still, small voice. And I tell you today, I wouldn't give nothing for my journey, because my disobedience and my failure to listen and my disobedience now, you can't get me not to go against what Spirit tell me. You see, if I move and Spirit say don't move, I'm not moving. I don't care you what comes. If Spirit say move, I don't even question it. Literally, one day I pulled up on Stony Island. I was pulling up in front of this health food store. Now, I grew up with Veronica. Veronica owns this health food store. I didn't grow up with her. I grew up coming to her store. And she always did all our colonics. My family, you know, it's like on 85th and Stony. So Veronica was coming out of her health food store, and I was driving past, but I'm driving on the side, and I said, oh, Veronica, and I beep the horn, and she's smiling, and she walking toward the car, but all of a sudden, she looks behind me, and she has this strange look, and she freezes, and all of a sudden, I heard say, move. I did not look back. I just moved, and guess what? It was a big 18-wheeler truck coming so fast that if I had a look back to see where she was looking, me and my children who were in the car would have been smashed. I just immediately moved. I did not look back. I saw her face. I heard Spirit say, move. I immediately moved. I did not look back. I didn't do nothing. I just immediately and got up. But I know if I had to look back or question my Spirit, we would have been hurt or dead today. So I'm saying to you, and I urge you, if you're a mother, if you're a grandmother, teach our children and learn how to develop a relationship, a voice, with that still, small voice. And when the voice really wants you to be heard, because it wants to protect you, it's going to be loud. I'm going to tell you, there was times when the voice was so loud, I couldn't even tell you I didn't hear the voice. You know how sometimes you question, did I hear God? No, there were times when the voice was so loud that I couldn't go against it. We're in times where things are happening on the planet. And when we're disobedient, it can cost us a lot. So I implore you to learn how to be still and hear. And know that you are God. That voice is your God presence. That inner presence, that God self presence is a powerful, powerful presence to lead, to guide you, and to protect you. And if you're in any situation, I know sometimes trusting spirit is a patient process. Sometimes it's not an immediate result. For some reason, one reason or another, there's a divine process. But I can tell you, if you trust in the process of the unknown, nothing but good can happen. I remember one time I wanted to date a guy, specifically this particular guy, and you couldn't tell me nothing. I wanted that. That's what I wanted. But Spirit kept telling me that wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. But when I look back now and I saw the guy not recently, I'm grateful. I can't tell you what that guy's going through now and all the ups and downs. And woof, I'm glad. I wouldn't want to be in that whirlwind that life is taking him through. And God knew that. But I wanted it. And I couldn't understand why God wasn't giving it to me. But let me tell you, and when you're patient, you got to have patience when you trust in the Spirit. Because things are not going to always work out immediately the way you think they should. But when they do work out, it's going to be more than you can ever think, more than you can ever ask, more than you can ever imagine, more beyond your even dreams that it even is possible. Because that's the way Spirit operates. And I want to let you know that your journey is not somebody else's journey, so stop trying to compare it. I know sometimes you look, well, God, look at what they got over there, and I know I should. Just trust in your own process. Trust your own process. Trust the journey that God is taking you on, because the gifts, the talents that need to be built, and the muscle fiber that needs to be built for you, and the faith muscle is a different journey than somebody else's journey. So, yes, they may be blessed with more material things in that right now moment or whatever you're looking for, or maybe the relationship, whatever, but that's okay because yours is on its way. This is a patient process, especially in a microwave journey when we just mix the water and put it in a microwave and we got mashed potatoes now. You know, you don't got to peel the potatoes and mash them, even though that's how we still do them in our household. And we don't have a microwave. But I'm saying we're in a time where people can do that, where you could just put a little water in the oatmeal and put it in the microwave, and in 5 minutes, you got oatmeal. Well, that's how we want our life to be. God, I want to mix a little of this, put it in the microwave, and I want to be a millionaire. Well, I want to blah, 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 put a little bit of this and put a little bit of this, and I want a tall, fine man. In 5 minutes, I got them. And it don't go like that. Spiritual journey is sometimes going to require you to have patience. You see, that spiritual journey sometimes is going to require you to have perseverance. You see, that spiritual journey is going to require that you have purpose. The spiritual journey is going to require that you have passion. The spiritual journey is a journey that you will never forget. your story. Sometimes birthing a greater version of you is going to take labor. You know, it's like being pregnant. And you labor before you birth. And so when you're rebirthing the magnificent presence of you, it's going to take a labor. And I know it because I've been rebirthed in the presence of me. Because let me tell you, getting a new mindset, rebuilding your thought process, unlearning what you've been learning is a journey. You see, I grew up in the street. Drug dealers, pimps, and prostitutes. That's all I knew. Nobody was talking about college. When I walked across that campus graduating from that day, 2016, and maybe getting my bachelor's cum laude or summa cum laude, whatever that stuff is, I was. And I don't want to call it stuff. It was an honor to be graduating with honors and being number two in the. But I can't remember which one is number two, magnum cum laude, cum laude, or which one. But I was one of the numbers because I know it's magnum cum laude, summa cum laude, and cum laude. I was one of the ones that is the second one. I wasn't number one, but I still was honored to graduate with my tassel saying that I'm some cum laude. But I literally cried when I walked over there because this little girl growing up on the South Side never saw herself graduating from college. You see, I never saw that for myself. Because, you know, I don't know if you were on the line when KRS was talking about future vision. And he was so on point that I hope that you all, I'm going to repost that so people can re-listen. Because it's so powerful to have a vision. And when you have to think about your day-to-day struggle and survival, it's hard to vision what your life is in the future. And it's so important to vision your life out in the future because your today becomes your tomorrow. And if your today is all about struggle, then your tomorrow is all about struggle. And I never saw the day that would come where I, Janine, would graduate from college. I never saw that day because there was nobody around me saying, you could be anything you want to be. You can go to college. I just was trying to figure out how to eat, survive from day to day. Because when you have a mother hooked on drugs, sometimes it would be months at a time before she come back home, weeks at a time before she came back home. And so I would get myself ready to go to school and sometimes wouldn't even have 50 cents. To make sure I could get some french fries to eat because at the corner store they had, it was a liquor store in the corner of 71st and Cregear, that you could get a bag of fries for 50 cents. So my point is to you, I'm so grateful for the journey. And it does require you to have patience when you're rebuilding the greater version of yourself because you have to unlearn and let go of all the junk that's been conditioned and veiled and instilled in you from the journey that you've taken. So if I say anything to you today that will bless your heart, it's a powerful journey when you're doing God's work. And God's work is not always in the church, and God's work is not always in the pulpit. Sometimes God's work is just in your presence, just the words that you speak when you speak to your neighbor. Maybe when you walk into the job, somebody could have been thinking about suicide, but your words touched their soul. See, you never know how God is going to use you. And so I like to tell you today, your ministry is your life. I never forget going through something with Brenton one night, and I wanted to be with my girlfriend. Both of us loved the street called Oak Street here in Chicago. It's like a rodeo drive, especially when we was younger. It's not so rodeo-ish now. You know, they've got more stores that people can actually buy from. See, when we were coming up, the average store, a piece might cost $20,000. So Oak Street, we would go and just walk in the middle of the night, and there used to be a store on the corner that would stay open to midnight. And you could shop in there. You could even eat in there and everything. So I was trying to get her attention. There was no cell phone, so I was calling her from the payphone, and she wouldn't answer the phone. And I really needed her because I just needed her, right? So I go to her house. She stayed with her mother and father. So I didn't want to ring the doorbell because it's like 11 o'clock at night. So I go on the side. Now, she lived on Aberdeen on 76th Avenue. I go on the side of her house, but her window's so high, so I'm throwing rocks at her window, And I went, so she finally look out. I said, Renee, come out so we could go. I said, come out. She said, okay. So she took about 30 minutes to get dressed and come out because it's 11 something at night. She get in the car and we driving. And so when I bring her back, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. She said, I'm so grateful that you threw rocks at my window. She said, because she was thinking about committing suicide. Now, I'm thinking, I'm coming because I want her to bless my spirit because I'm upset. And all the time, God orchestrated everything perfectly, my persistence. Because, you know, I could have called her 50 times and she didn't answer. I could have said, I'll forget it, and I'll just drive down there myself. But I was persistent on going over there and having her be with me. And on that night, if I hadn't been persistent, she may have committed suicide. So I'm saying to you, you never know how God is using you. You never know how your energy is landing in somebody's space. So my message today is trust the inner voice. Trust the process. It requires patience. But in the end, you win. That's my message for today. Any questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 if you're on teleconference. All right. Well, I hope my message blessed you today. And as we are in Domestic Violence Awareness Month, also we're in Love, I call it Love Your Breast Month. I want to send lots of love out to people who are processing their domestic violence and gone through the process, grown through the process. I want to send love to all my ladies. And they say men even get breast. So I just want to send you all lots of love, reminding you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember to dream. Dream. Your God-sized dream. But not just dream, live them, family. It's your world. It's your world, family. And you can do it. It's your world. So today, as we move through this life, remember to take the limits off your thinking. Because nobody can do what you've been called to the planet to do the way you've been called to do it. You see, your story is a blessing to somebody. Your story is a blessing to somebody today, pal. It's waiting to be told. But it's all love. This is third world. Now that we found love, what are we going to do with it, family? Have a great day.